Welcome to Speaking of Grace, the weekly message podcast from the Whole Life Church in Orlando, Florida. We're a multi-ethnic, multicultural, and multi-generational congregation committed to our mission of loving people into a lifelong friendship with God. We are committed to our vision of being a church without walls, fully engaged in serving the people of our community. Thank you for joining us as we continue Speaking of Grace.
Well, good afternoon. For those who may not know me, my name is Aubrey Taup. I am the children and family pastor here. So as I mentioned, I cover ages in grades 0 through 8. It means I get to work with all the littles, and it's so much fun. I also work with families and supporting and providing resources for you as parents and for us as a community to support one another. It is a great privilege and an honor. I love my job. With that, I would like to say a brief prayer as we begin our sermon time together. So if you'll bow your heads one more time. Lord, we're here and our hearts are open. Fill us with your Holy Spirit and speak. May we have ears to hear you in Jesus' name. Amen. I will never forget my favorite high school teacher. He taught math and his name was Mr. Yonke. Mr. Yonke was a tall, thin, gray-haired man in his early 60s. He wore glasses, and when he smiled big, his eyes would squint. Mr. Yonke was very intelligent and perceptive. He was intentional to learn every student's name by the end of the second week and greet you by name as you entered his classroom. If he saw that you weren't having the best day, he would lean over and say, "Hey, if you need to talk after class, I'm here. Or I'll be after school if you want to swing in." He cared for us as students. And Mr. Yonke, he had a passion for math. And I know math isn't always a passionate subject, but this man loved math. And you could tell because when he would see the light bulbs go off for us, when we finally understood a problem that we never really understood, but when he saw the light bulb go off, he was so excited for us. He was awesome. I love Mr. Yonke to this day. But it's not because he knew my name. It's not because he taught me math. It's because of the words that he spoke over me. Each day, he would give an open invitation to anyone who wanted to come after school to study, to get help with math homework, whatever you needed. It was a safe space. And so I took him up on that offer twice a week, every week for over 2 years. And that time changed my life because every time I would come, he would speak words of life over me. Words of encouragement when I didn't understand and felt like a failure. Words of hope when I lost a friend to suicide. Words of joy when I felt sad or frustrated. "You can do it. I'll help you. I'm here for you. You are so smart. You're not alone." He helped me believe in myself. That's why I still remember and care for him so strongly. His words made a difference in my life. His words had power. How many of you had a teacher like that? Anybody have one of those? Yeah, someone who believed in you, someone who encouraged you and helped you and spoke positivity over you. You might even have like a warm feeling as you remember them, like, "Oh, they were a good teacher." And then on the flip side, how many of you had a teacher that made you feel dumber than dirt? Yeah, I had that one too. That was rough and also unforgettable, but for the wrong reasons, because every word that she said was harsh and critical. None of the students were ever good enough for her, and she, quite frankly, crushed us with her words. Positive words, negative words, they all have power. And most of all, your words have power. Slide. Proverbs 18:21 says, "The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit." Your tongue has the power of life and death. Think about it. That's a lot of power in such a small part. James 3:5 puts it this way, likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. Our tongue can set a forest fire ablaze, and we can choose to use that for good or for evil. Words are powerful. Your words are powerful. A word like congratulations can make you feel pride and joy. Words like I love you can make you feel safe and desired and known. Positive words are powerful, but that goes the same for negative words. Words like you're stupid can make you feel insignificant or unintelligent. Words like you'll never succeed can make you feel depressed and make you feel like a failure. Even a lack of words can cause a significant impact, such as not telling your child, I love you, I'm proud of you. Psychological researcher and clinician John Gottman says that for every negative comment you receive, you need to also receive 5 positive comments to try to balance that out for a 5-to-1 ratio. You need to hear a minimum of 5 positive things for every 1 negative thing, or your thinking will be skewed to the negative. And anytime you share a negative comment with someone, you need to share 5 positive comments to help balance it out. But keep in mind, this is not like Mr. Yonke's math class. It doesn't zero out the problem. However, it can help when someone knows that you see the good in them, that you do love them and you do care. In a world where we are performance-driven, always trying to improve, we receive a lot of critiques and we dish out a lot of criticism. But words of encouragement, they sometimes come few and far between. How many positive words are you sharing with others? How many positive comments do you speak over your spouse, your parents, your children, your friends, your coworkers, even the stranger on the street? It is easy to say harsh things, but it takes intentionality to be kind with our words. The truth is, our words make things happen. Our words create our reality. If you look at the story of creation, again and again, the Bible says, and God said. God said, let there be light and land and animals. God spoke and things happened. His words literally created life. And when God speaks, his words are the most powerful words we will ever hear. He speaks life over us again and again, and we are made in his image. Our life-giving God modeled the power of words from the very beginning. And while our words don't instantly speak things into being, after all, we're not God, our words do create and destroy. The words we speak, they have the power to be helpful or hurtful. When the devil speaks, every word is full of destruction and lies. His words are negative, intrusive, and deadly. He says, you're nothing, useless, a failure, a sinner, not worth saving. But when Jesus speaks, the one who made you, the one who moved heaven and earth to save you, he speaks life. He says, you are loved, you are chosen, you are mine, you're forgiven, you are strong. His words change lives, and he calls you and I to use our words to make a difference. So how do we speak life? What does that look like? We speak life when we speak faith, not fear. What does that mean? Well, you and I can easily speak failure, fear, frustration, and fragility over our circumstances. It's easy. It comes naturally. We automatically think of the worst. We worry over our problems and think of all the ways it could go wrong, never the ways it could go right. We often speak death, not life. Think about it. What words do you say to yourself in the conversations that you have in your mind? What are the stories that you're telling yourself? What do you say about yourself and your situation to others? What do you say to others about their situation? How are you using your words? Speaking of words, I have a couple of object lessons I want to try, and I recruited some volunteers. Now, the only requirement for my helpers is that they must try to do with all their might what I asked them to do, and they agreed. So, if I can have my first volunteer up, Miss Rachel, can you come join me right behind this table? Can we give her a round of applause? Great job, Rachel. All right. First thing is very easy. I need you to pick up the cloth and say really loudly what you see under there. Go ahead. Pick it all the way up. Put it down. What is that?
Toothpaste.
Toothpaste. All right. So I can assure you that I'm not going to make you brush your teeth up here. I didn't bring a toothbrush, okay? But I am going to have you do something very special. I need you to open the tube of toothpaste. And I need you, as fast as you can, to squeeze it all out. Ready, set, go! Squeeze, 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 squeeze! Whoa, there's a lot of toothpaste in there, guys. Whoa! Keep squeezing, keep getting it all out. You're doing it with all your might. Good job, squeeze, 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 squeeze. Almost there, almost done! Wow! That's a lot of toothpaste, guys. Good job. Oh, and it's still coming. Rachel's getting it all out. All right, Rachel, that's good enough. That's a good job. Perfect. All right. Now, my only requirement, yes, 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 good job. My only requirement was that you have to try with all your might, right? So here's the next thing I need you to do. I need you to put all of the toothpaste back in the tube. Go ahead. Oh, yeah, you gotta, remember, we have to try with all our might, so what are we gonna do? I don't know, we'll try something. Might have to get your other hand in there and try to just put it in, I don't know. You know, I'm realizing that it came out really fast, but you can't put it back in, can you? No, it's kind of the same with words. Once you speak words over someone or something, you can't take them back. They're out there. So the tube of toothpaste represents any of the not so nice words we say, any of the negative or mean words we say. And once our words are spoken, they can't go back in. All right, high five. Good job. Thank you for your help, Rachel. You can sit down. Good job. I have one more, and this is for my second volunteer. Miss Eleni, can you join me up here? More round of applause. Yes, yes, yes. All right, Eleni, we're going to do something very similar. I need you to lift up that cloth and say loud and proud, what is under there? Put it right here. What is that?
Perfume.
Perfume! It is perfume. Can you take the cap off? We're not going to spray it quite yet, but you can take the cap off. So it's perfume. And does perfume usually smell good or bad?
Good.
Good. It smells very good. Now, let's say you run into a friend and you say, you see that they're sad. And you say some encouraging words to them to try to make them feel better, and they feel happier, and they're really grateful for that. So let's spray the perfume and pretend those are our words. Can you spray it? Perfect. And it smells good or bad?
Good.
So that spray represents all the nice things you said. You're so smart, you're so brave, you're so helpful, thanks for being my friend, I'm gonna pray for you, all those wonderful things that you said, that's what that spray represents. Now, I want you to try to do something. Remember, you're gonna try with all your might. Are you ready? I want you to spray the perfume and try to put it back in the bottle. You gotta try. It's all right. Good job. So can you put it back after you spray it? No. But you know, something that's kind of nice about perfume is that it sticks with you. So when mommy wears perfume or when daddy wears cologne and it smells really good, it stays with them all day, right? Not just for like a second. And when we say nice words to people, it stays with them throughout the day. So every time you smell that on mommy or daddy, I want you to remember that, okay? All right, great job, Eleni. You can take a seat.
Perfect.
Why did we just do this? Well, first, because it represents that once the words of life or death leave our mouths, we cannot take them back. And second, my hope is that when you go to brush your teeth and you squeeze out some toothpaste on your toothbrush, you'll remember the power of your words. That when you put your perfume or cologne or body spray on, you'll think about the fact that once your words are out there, they leave an indelible mark. We get to choose the words we speak. Ephesians 4:29 puts it this way, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." The Bible is clear. We are to use our words to build others up, not tear them down. How do you do this? How do I do this? How can we make a difference with our words? Well, first, we have to start right here. I have to start with me. You have to start with you. Speak life over yourself. How do you speak to yourself? What are the conversations that take place in your mind? What are the stories you are telling yourself about you and your circumstances? What words do you use? Are you kind, loving, and encouraging? Are you speaking faith over what can be, or do you get stuck in the downward spiral, doom and gloom? When you can't understand a new topic, maybe in school, is the thing you tell yourself, "Oh, I'm so stupid," or "Oh, I'm just never gonna get this"? What about the conversations you have with others about how you feel about your situation, how you feel about yourself? Are you rehearsing your worries or claiming God's promises? Do you believe the lies of the devil and rehearse those statements? "You're not good enough. It'll never get better." Or do you speak hope into the impossible, because our God is a God of the impossible? You believe what you tell yourself. Your brain hears you. One of our teachers over at Children's Academy, she tells the little ones, "Kiss your brain. Be kind to yourself." If you rehearse internally and externally that things will never get better, guess what? They probably won't. You believe what you say. So part of speaking faith is exercising our trust in God to do what he says he will do. And what does God say about all this? Who does God say that you are? If you feel like you can't find the strength to speak life over yourself, it's okay, because God will speak it for you. His word is full of promises, and he encourages us, claim them, because I am faithful and I am with you. We can all rehearse our problems in our sleep. We can worry away the day, but as much as you want to, don't. Choose instead to trust God's power and repeat his promises. So first, it starts with me. It starts with you. Speak life over yourself. Speak life over your circumstances. Analyze, am I speaking faith or am I speaking fear? Second, how do you speak to others? We have to speak life over others. How do you speak about them? Are there words that inspire life or words that bring death? When a friend or family member is sharing something that they're angry about, are you pouring fuel on the fire and fanning the flames? Or are you speaking a calm, encouraging, hopeful word? When someone is dealing with an impossible situation and it seems like there is no hope, do you just sit in the misery and say, well, I guess there isn't any hope? Or do you sit with them and say, man, this is tough, but you know what? There's light at the end of the tunnel. There is hope. When someone begins gossiping, do you join in and add your negative thoughts about the person? Or do you speak up for them and stop the conversation from going any further? After all, that person is God's creation. Do your words reflect that? If you're anything like me, you can remember some of the hurtful words that have been spoken over you. Even from a young age, words hurt and they are not easily forgotten. I remember being in elementary school and being bullied and made fun of. First, it was because I was too tall, and then it was because I got glasses, and then it was because of my weight, and it hurt because words hurt. They leave a mark, and they're not easily forgotten. And if I'm honest, I have hurt others with my words. I have bullied those same kids back. I have spoken in spite to someone I love to get them back for hurting me. I've hurt others with my words without even realizing it. And I've spoken too fast without thinking about the implications of my words. And I feel regret. It hurts when we know we've hurt someone else, right? We all have, and they are moments we are not proud of. But we can learn from them. We can forgive and we can choose to speak life. On the other hand, I can think of people that have spoken faith and life over me and have helped me tremendously. Can you think of those people in your life? I know for me that my therapists have been a blessing over my journey. They have encouraged me and spoken faith and not fear and helped me in hard times. My mom is another one. She is a lifesaver, always speaking life over me. Anytime I feel overwhelmed and I want to believe the lies of the devil, she's like, not today, Satan. And she speaks life over me. And then there are times where I share what's on my heart with friends at work, our whole life staff, and they're a healthy sounding board to speak life over me too. The words you speak make a difference. For better or for worse, for good or for evil, for life or for death, the words we speak make a difference in our lives and in the lives of others. So, speak life. Say to yourself from the truth of God's word, I am loved, I am strong, I am beautiful, I am chosen. Say to others, you are worthy, you are forgiven, you are called, you can do this, you're not alone. Say over any situation, my God is bigger, he is stronger, this will not overtake me. The Lord is faithful to provide and he will never leave me or forsake me. Speak life. Speak life through the deadest, darkest night. Speak life when the sun won't shine. Speak life over yourself when you feel like a failure. Speak life over your kiddos when they're hurt by the words of others. Speak life over your spouse when they are discouraged and stuck. Speak life over your family members even when they get on your last nerve. Speak life over your neighbor who has a bee in her bonnet. Speak life over your coworker who is just really going through it. Speak life over the stranger on the street. Speak life in every way, every day. Choose to speak life.
Hi, this is Randy McGray, podcast producer and host here at Whole Life Church. Loving people into a lifelong friendship with God is our mission at the Whole Life Church, and our podcasts are designed to help facilitate conversations that help us grow together in that pursuit. Now that you've heard the message for this week, don't forget to check out the Whole Life takeaways for this message. Swipe up in today's show notes and join the conversation. Speaking of conversations, each Wednesday morning we take a closer look at the week's message. That's right, the one you just listened to. We discuss practical ways to apply spiritual lessons and ask honest questions about the issues we face as Christians, all focused through the lens of grace. Your voice is a welcomed addition to that conversation. We encourage your thoughts and your questions by sending a voicemail or text to 407-965-1607 or send an email to podcast@wholelife.church. You can find everything podcast related on our website, wholelife.church/podcast. And plan on spending every Tuesday evening and Wednesday morning with us as we bring you the Whole Life Church inspiration you love straight into your headphones. Thanks for listening, and have a great week.